Good morning. There we go. I want to thank you guys all for coming out tonight, not just because you had to brave the elements, but because my name was in the bulletin and you showed up anyway. Okay? You knew what you were getting into. Okay? The Church of Christ of Harlan was not hiding the ball in this one. Okay? I also want to thank Julie because she is still in the audience. You'll have to ask her about that later. So our songs tonight, we sang about love. We sang two songs about love. So guess what we're going to be talking about? That's right, prayer. I'm getting more laughs on these than when I try the jokes at school. I think I should just do this more often. No, we're going to be talking about love tonight, what love is, and how love should be in our lives, and how that love that Christ has should be the kind of love that we show to others. So I just want to get a quick count. Anybody in here love Jesus? Show of hands. Show of hands. All right. Good, good. About what I thought. Anybody in here love Satan? See those hands go up. Kate. Sorry. Noah got all excited because he saw hands go up. All right. It's okay. Now, if he still says that like 10 years from now, we got a problem. Now, don't put your hands up on this one, but I want you to think about it. Who here loves Jesus, but loves to flirt with Satan? Harder question to answer, isn't it? Now, Adam, we would never flirt with Satan. No. Isn't that what sin is? To love someone, but to want to hang around with somebody else? I mean, if any of you married couples went to, the store or something, or went out to dinner, and you saw your spouse there with somebody else, you'd have a few questions you'd be asking. And it's no different when God sees us engage in sin. He sees us say, oh, Jesus, we love you, we love you. But our actions, when we sin, tell a different story. It's the same as if we go out and we cheat on him. And we even see this in the book of Hosea. God said, you're going to marry a prostitute. You're going to marry someone who's going to be unfaithful to you, and you still have to stay with them. You're going to know how I feel. And imagine when God's saying that to Israel, saying, you treat me like this woman does. That every night you leave and you go somewhere else. And I don't even know if my children are mine, and I constantly bring you back even though you keep leaving me. If our physical relationships were like the relationship we have with God sometime, I wonder how long they would last. Likewise, I wonder how long our relationship with God can last if we're not faithful to him. So it's important that we show the right kind of love to God. Someone who is constantly faithful to us, though we step out on him. Go to John 21:15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. If you go on, Jesus actually asked him three times, do you love me? And to our English, it sounds strange. He's like, well, Jesus, he keeps saying he loves you. Why don't you get it? Because you have to understand the context to use. There were three different words for love. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, so excuse me. There is eros, which is a romantic love, the kind of love that we would see when two people get married and, we see in the movies and on Valentine's Day and yada, yada, yada. There's also philos, which is a brotherly love, the love between people who are friends, who have a very deep bond together, who have gone through things together. And then there is the last one, agape. And agape is the one that God has for us. It's love put into action. It's a deep love where you are willing to sacrifice for the other person and where the other person's needs come before your own. And when Jesus is talking to Peter, he says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter's like, Jesus, you're my buddy. Peter, are you willing to sacrifice everything for me? Jesus, we're friends. We're going to hang out. I love you. And that's what I think where Peter was having a little bit of issue. However, we do know that later on, Peter was killed for his faith. Peter got to the kind of love that Jesus was looking for. Just took a little time. But we're going to look at these loves played out in the Bible and see if we can apply these to our lives and try to understand what God's looking for when he says, I love you, and I want you to love me the way I love you. Now, anybody who's ever been in love knows that it changes over time. Okay? Last year, we got to watch Tyler and Alyssa get married, and it was beautiful and wonderful to see, and they pronounced how much they loved each other. And I guarantee you that they love each other more now, a year later, than they did that day. Those of you who have been married for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I guarantee you, your love is stronger than the day you got married. What happened? That love changed as you changed. Our love for God must change over time. It must become stronger. Because I guarantee you, the day you became a Christian, you did not love God as much as he loved you. We should strive for that kind of love. Go to Genesis 29, 18 through 20. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days because he had such love for her. So we can look at this, we can say that this is an eros type of love. It's the love between two individuals. And Jacob had an intense love for Rachel. It said that he worked 7 years and it only seemed like a few days. Jacob was patient. He was very patient in waiting for his bride. Now, Faith, would you be willing to wait 6 more years for Matt? Just, you know, we wait 6 more years for that to happen? And she's not giving me a thumbs up, so I'm going to say no. No, and we have a hard time waiting. But Jacob did. He waited a long time for Rachel because he had love for her. He wanted her, and he was willing to wait because he knew the value that she was. God asks us to wait at times. It's very easy for us as Christians to go through the trials and to say, God, why can't you just speed this trial up? And we think, why can't you just take these temptations away from me? You know I'm going to come through them. You know that I'm going to come through the other side. I'm not going to get rid of you, Lord. And I think that times God looks at us and says, yeah, I know that. But do you know that? It's very easy to want to move things along. But sometimes God says, wait. Wait for the plan that I have. Wait to go through the trials. Because they teach you something along the way. We see this all the time at school. I'll have 12, 13, 14-year-olds and older who will come up to me and inform me. They'll say, Mr. Cooper, I don't need school. I'm going to go do this. Or they'll say, Mr. Cooper, I already know what I'm going to do. Or, Mr. Cooper, why do I need to take this subject? Why do I need this? And you adults are all smiling at me because you know that 12-year-olds have all the wisdom in the world. But here's the thing. They need to go through the process. They need to go through the school. They need to go through the classes because it teaches them. They're not ready for what's out there. But they will be in time. But there's no way for them to instantly gain that experience. They have to wait. They have to be taught. They have to learn. And too many times we look at trials and temptations and we think, well, God's just testing me. God's, he's teaching you. He's allowing you to be tested. God does not make any of us tempted. But he allows us to be tempted because he's testing us. But he's also teaching us. He wants us to rely on him. During those 7 years that Jacob was waiting for Rachel, do you think he ever talked to her? Do you think he ever spent time with her at the end of the day? I guarantee you, Jacob probably knew Rachel better than most do on their wedding day. Because during that 7 years, he waited, he talked, he learned about her. And same thing, when we go through the trials, it's God giving us a test, but also teaching us. And he's wanting us to do what Jacob had to do. Talk to me. Get to know me better. Sometimes God makes us wait, but it's always for a purpose. Go to Ruth 1, 11 through 18. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters, and while you go with me, are there still sons in my womb that there may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband, and if I should have hope, should I have a husband tonight, and you also would also bear you sons? Would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return to your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge, and your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will also be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more so, if anything but death parts you and me." And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. The next love we're going to be looking at is the love that Ruth had for her mother-in-law. And the book of Ruth is really truly amazing. It's amazing when you look at it, not just in the context of the book, but also look at the lineage that came from Ruth and where she came from as well. It's all about God redeeming us. Ruth needed to be redeemed back to her people, to these people. And God redeems us. But look at the devotion that Ruth had for Naomi. This was a time where an unmarried woman did not have very many financial prospects. She needed someone to take care of her, not just physically, but financially as well. And she's saying, "I am willing to give all of that up. I'm willing to give up husbands and sons to be with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Where your God will be my God." That's devotion. That's an intense devotion to another person. Anyone who's been married knows you have to be devoted to that person. It's not just enough to love that person and say, "Well, you know, I'll just see you, you know, every other day or something." You've got to be devoted to him. And God wants nothing less from us. He wants our absolute devotion. Go back and look at what Ruth said to Naomi. Instead of thinking of it as a woman to a woman who's a very deep friend, think of it as us talking to God. "Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. And I will serve you." Can we walk with the same devotion that Ruth had? That we're willing to give up everything else for God? Love requires sacrifice. If you're going to love your spouse the way you need to, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. There may be places you don't go because you're with your spouse. There will be other people that you will never get to date because you're with that person. It will cost you. It's a sacrifice. But what you get back is so much better. Look at it from Christ's point of view. "God, I'm going to serve you, and you're going to be my God. and I will give up everything for you. There will be places we cannot go. There will be things we cannot do. It may affect our careers. It may affect our freedom. It may affect our lives. But are you devoted or not? Ruth was devoted. Boaz, when he married a woman who would be absolutely devoted to him because she showed that absolute devotion to Naomi. God wants nothing less. When we say we're devoted to you, God, when we say that we will follow you, do we mean it? Or is it just lip service? Love requires a sacrifice. We know this because we see the devotion that God had for us. That right after we sinned, right after we put separation between us and the one that we love, he said, I'm getting them back. And I don't care what it cost. Because it could. It cost Jesus his life. Now we say, well, he knew he was going to rise. Cost him time in heaven. Cost him pain. Cost him scourging. Cost him a lot. But again, was he devoted? Or was it just lip service? Anyone who has ever been in love knows that there's a difference between receiving flowers on Friday, on Valentine's Day, because you have to, and receiving flowers just because. There's a difference between love that's just lip service and love that really, truly means it. God showed that love for us, an absolute devotion to us. And all he asks in return is that we show that same devotion to him. Church, Christ at Harlan, do you agape God? Or is he just your brother? Go to 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 7. Then David said, is there anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. For when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not someone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? First off, church, shouldn't we drive to do the same? And when we show kindness to people, we show them the kindness that God shows us. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who has lame feet. And the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. And King David sent and brought him to the house of Michar, the son of Amar, from Lo Debar. And when Mephibosheth... See, Dad loves this story, but it's really hard for me to pronounce that name. The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David. He fell on his face, prostrate to him, and said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and restore to you all the land of your father, of the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. The third thing we're looking at tonight is love doesn't need a reason. Did David need a reason to show kindness to Mephibosheth? No. Honestly, he didn't even know he existed. But what was the reason that he did? Because he loved Jonathan. David and Jonathan had a philos love, the deep love between brothers. And even after Jonathan's death, David's like, I want to show kindness to somebody in his household because how much he meant to me, because of what our brotherly love was like. And so he sought out Mephibosheth. Love doesn't need a reason to do things. As I said, this Friday, gentlemen, is Valentine's Day. And it's customary to give gifts and chocolate and flowers and that kind of thing. But I'm sure each of you guys who's been married for more than a minute knows that your wife would prefer, if not just on Valentine's Day, but the entire rest of the year, you showed kindness to her. That the entire rest of the year, you did things for her. Love doesn't need a reason. It doesn't need a day to do things. You know, sometimes love, you know, saying I love you, comes out, can I get you anything from the store? Do you want some coffee? Did you check your tires? These little things that you do to show love for the person that you care about. If Sunday is the only day that you remember the love of Christ, I question how strong your relationship with him is. If Sunday is the only day that we pray, if Sunday is the only day that we read our Bibles, then our relationship is much like somebody who only shows love to their spouse one day of the year. It will not last. Love doesn't need a reason. David didn't need a reason. We see the same thing when David goes to build the temple. He says, I want to build a temple for God. David sought out ways to serve him. That he sought out ways to please God. He sought out things to do. This is much like a spouse who seeks out things to do for theirs. You know, when your spouse comes home, you've got the dishes done. Why? So that they don't have to do it. When your spouse comes home, you did the vacuuming. Why? Because they hate vacuuming. Okay? I may not be married, but I understand certain things. But that's the thing. Showing love is what you do continually. It's not just one day of the year. We must seek out things that we can do for God. There's lists up out for camps and things to do in the church, and there's different activities that we can go to. Do we seek those out because there are extra ways that we can serve him? Or do we just show up every Sunday and sit down in our normal spot and think, well, that's good enough? No. Again, if one day of the week is all you're showing, then your strength and your love for him isn't very strong. David didn't need a reason, nor do we. Because we serve a God who actively sought out what was best for us. Again, when we sinned, he said, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to bring them back to me. But here's the thing. Is love a one-way street? You can love somebody, and they may not return that love. And anyone who's ever had feelings for somebody who didn't return them, that's a painful thing. Again, how does God feel? He loves us enough to send his only son to die on that cross, and the world rejects him. Imagine that. Knowing that you were going to give the very best you had to somebody who was going to turn it away anyway. And still doing it. We have a hard time showing love to somebody just on the off chance that they may return it. But knowing that many would not return that love, that's what true love is. But he knew that there would be some who would return that love that he had. And love, when it is returned, is a great feeling. They're going to make their way up tonight. And I asked a question earlier. I said, who here loves God? And that's the wrong question I should be asking. The right one is, who here is following him? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So my question is, have you repented? Have you confessed? Have you been immersed? Are you living faithfully for him? If you can't say yes to these, then I question the love that you have for God. There's many people out there who will say, oh, I'm a Christian, I love God. And they know you never see him on Sunday. You never see them working for him. I can actually say tonight that if you're here and you have not been faithful to God, you've not been faithful to what he has told you to do, if you've not obeyed his commands, I do question your love. Should I say, I don't question it. The Bible does. If you love God, you must serve him. Because remember, he loved you first. He loved you most. And he is waiting for us to come home.